You may also notice that the client moves your eyes into two locations. When they were attempting to, in the Pentagon, when they were attempting to debunk NLP, one of the things they said was that NLP wasn't accurate or didn't actually work because the eye patterns didn't work. And what they noticed was that the generals, when they would ask a general a question, the general would move his eyes down and to the right as you look at him. And then, like, let's say you said to the general, what color was the room you grew up in? He would move his eyes down and to the right as you look at him, and then up to the right to visual recall. And so what they said was, well, this isn't terribly accurate because the general's moving his eyes to where you say is auditory digital. But the fact is the general was repeating the question before he actually accessed the information. So if you're going to go out and use this and test it, and I think it really is useful to test this, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. I think it really is useful to test it, but be aware that some people may have to repeat the question. In addition, some people may have a synesthesia, which means that they can access one representational system, or they will access one representational system in order to pick up another one. That's also a possibility. Now, this particular information, what would I use this for? This particular information, to me, this is really a major strength when I do consulting with kids, educational consulting. And you may know of a kid who's not doing well in school. Gosh, isn't that the worst thing? You poor kid, and what do kids know? I mean, kids do the best they can, you know? I mean, I think all kids really want to do the best they can. But this poor kid, and the kids, people tell you, or you're stupid, or you can't learn, or whatever. But the fact is that kids really do want to do the best they can. But many kids, they label them learning disabled in some way. And the fact is that it's simply the use of an inappropriate representational system. Now, that's now called dyslexia. And here's the possibility. Here's some possibilities. Let's look at the eye chart on page 23. A child who is labeled dyslexic, probably the quickest thing to ask this child is, I think the quickest thing to ask this child is, what was the color of the room you grew up in? And notice where the child looks. Notice if their visual recall is on the right-hand side. You could also ask them, how do you spell success, and watch their eyes. Most of the kids that I've worked with, in fact, 99% of the kids I've ever worked with, when you say to them, how do you spell success, they'll either be going to visual construct or they'll be going down to kinesthetic. And I'm going to tell you something. Kinesthetic is not the place to spell success successfully. Success needs to be spelled in visual recall. So the quickest thing you can teach the child is to take the word success and put it up in the visual recall. And then, so here's what I'll say to the child. I'll say to him, look, visual recall, put this up, and to your, well, in this case, visual recall is going to be up and to the child's left. So you say to the child, put this up and to your left. As you look at them, it's going to be their right. And have them look at the word as they move their eyes into visual recall. As they move their eyes into visual recall, then have them and break the word into syllables. That's the easiest way. So it would be S-U-C and then put a dot there and then C-E-S-S. Then as they spell it, you tell them spell the, and then do it in two different colors. So make the S-U-C in blue and the C-E-S-S in red. So you'd say spell the blue, and the child will go S-U-C, spell the red, C-E-S-S. Spell the blue, S-U-C, spell the red, C-E-S-S. Spell the blue, S-U-C, spell the red, C-E-S-S. Spell the red, C-E-S-S, spell the blue, S-U-C. Spell the blue, S-U-C, spell the red, C-E-S-S. And have them do that until you're bored with it. And then have them close their eyes and spell it. So now spell it, spell the blue, S-U-C, spell the red, C-E-S. And then tell them to spell it backwards. And they'll probably go S-S-E-C-C-U-S. And when they do that, it'll blow them away. I had a 17-year-old girl who was branded dyslexic. She was getting A's and B's in school from the beginning of school until age 7 when the dyslexia specialist came into town. Great, huh? And the dyslexia specialist found, of course, that she had dyslexia. And from 7 to 17, she complied. Now, her father was a professor at Brigham Young University, so he knew that dyslexia existed. I don't believe in dyslexia per se, But he knew that it existed. He was a professor at Brigham Young University, and he brought me to her. And so the first thing I said to her was, how do you spell success? And she went down into her kinesthetics. And so I knew that we had a really good, you know, if the child goes to kinesthetics right away, you're going to know clearly that that you've got something you can do here. So I did the pattern with her, and then I had her spell it backwards, and she spelled it backwards perfectly. And her father was sitting there, and his mouth was wide open like this, wah. And she was all grins, you know, and just, you know, feeling really great about it. If you have a child who's been branded dyslexic, they're probably simply using an inappropriate representational system. They may also not have picked a dominant hemisphere yet. Depending on how old they are, you may need to have them pick a dominant hemisphere, or you may need to teach them things which go across the hemispheres. If you're going to work a lot with kids, you may want to read Swassing and Barbie, and the name of the book is Teaching Through Modality Strengths. You may also want to read some things on educational kinesiology. Among other things, there are things which cause the person to cross-crawl or to use both hemispheres. Cross-crawling can be quite useful in terms of getting the child to pick a dominant hemisphere or at least to synchronize both hemispheres. Usually the kids who are branded dyslexic are simply using an inappropriate representational system or are trying to remember stuff in visual construct. So it's really important, I think, to these eye patterns are so, so useful to be able to work with a child in a system and moving beyond that. And they're also useful in business. If a person continually accesses a construct when he should be going to recall, you may have a person who is not giving you the full story or not giving you the full amount of information. If a person is gone to auditory recall or back to auditory construct, you may not be getting the exact story.